Hello, I'm Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of GCSE Computing at Our Lady's High School, and this is the fifth episode in a series where I'm documenting, recording all the different things I've been doing with my GCSE Computing class. So I teach at Our Lady's Catholic High School, Fulwood in Preston. I wouldn't really consider myself an expert in computing science, but I really would like to be. So that's where I'm aspiring to be. So my plan with this is I record what I do with my lessons, with my classes, and some people respond and reply and tell me if they would do things differently. So I've had lots of messages from some of you, so thank you very much for those. I'm taking your comments on board. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me, alan@odonoghue.org.uk, or you can send me a tweet at technoteacher, T-E-K-N-O, teacher. So this week, episode 5, I've had 3 lessons with my year 10 class, 11, 12 and 13. So I'm going to explain what happened in lesson 11. So each week on a Monday morning, the very first lesson of the day, I teach the theory lesson for the computing course. So on Monday the 8th of October, the focus this week was for children to understand and try to come to terms with the legal, ethical, environmental issues when creating computer systems. So just to get the children thinking about this in the first place, I mentioned to them that there were 3 quite important pieces of legislation, and I used that word, but obviously I had to explain for some of them that that means the law. So there's 3 pieces of legislation in place to protect people, and I wanted them to find out what they were. So I gave them some clues, and I asked them to write these in their exercise books. So I said one of them made it illegal to use software unless you had a correct license to use it. It also meant that you couldn't copy or distribute software, but some software could be freely distributed. So I wanted them to find out what they could about that particular piece of legislation. I also mentioned a second one, which puts an onus on employers to consider health and safety of their employees and regarding like the layout of equipment and things like making sure that inputs and devices and outputs, screens, hardware are in places where they're not going to damage or cause sort of safety long-term risks to their staff. And the third piece of legislation I wanted them to find out was a law that says if you store personal details of people, that you need to keep it secure, and that there's a code or guidelines that say what sort of systems you should have in place to protect that. So I asked them to try and figure out what these acts of law were, and they had to explain a little bit about them. And initially, they were struggling a little bit about that to try and understand why these were in place. So we started off with a more general discussion about why we have laws and rules, and even looking at why there's rules in school that says this, you know, in place to protect everybody and make sure that, you know, everybody gets treated fairly. So you probably know already, if you know your stuff, that the first one that says it's illegal to use software without the correct license, that's the Copyright Designs and Patents Act. The second one about health and safety, that's the Health and Safety at Work Act, 1974, I think. And the third one, bear in mind, this is a Sunday evening, and I'm sort of almost dropping asleep as I'm recording this. But the third one about storing personal details and following guidelines and security of that information, that's the Data Protection Act. So once we'd established that the children had got the correct answers to that and some discussion around why they were in place, we then branched off into thinking about what ethical means, when we talk about ethical issues. And one or two children in the class quickly identified that whether something was ethical or not meant it was fair. So I then said to the class, imagine there's a job coming up at a company, and it's, you know, it's quite a well-known company in the world where you get to, you know, build things like iPads and iPhones and all this kind of stuff. And the company is called Foxconn. So I want you to find out whether you think that would be a good company to work for. So imagine that you've applied for a job and now you've been invited to an interview, so you decide to do a little bit of research. So a couple of minutes, go off and do some research in Foxconn to find out what you can about it. What was really funny to hear was the next few minutes hearing words like suicide netting, suicides, deaths, all these sort of words being banded around the class as the children were surprised and shocked to discover some of this. Now, I did mention that often things can be sensationalized in the news to grab headlines and that, but sometimes there were some grains of truth underlying this, and there is a fact that Foxconn, one of the companies that manufactures products not just for Apple but for other large multinational consumer electronics companies, they do actually have suicide netting around the premises of their factory. And why would it be necessary? So we spent a little bit of time thinking about that, and we were saying, discussing, you know, the fact is, if why would they need to do that? Well, maybe the conditions for the employees aren't that good, and why would they not be that good or that favourable to work in compared to working for some other companies? And we were saying, well, maybe the labour costs are quite, sorry, salaries are quite low, and it's probably not very enjoyable work. So, but as a result of all of that, the devices that they manufacture, the costs can be kept relatively low compared to some other products where there's a lot of labour involved. So that was for a Monday morning, that was quite a lively discussion around ethical issues when creating computer systems. We then also spent a little bit of time looking at the environmental issues. So I asked the children to identify some situations where computers actually helped the environment, and in terms of the planet and green issues. So we looked at things like working from home, cutting down on travel, so being benefits, and then things like increased levels of manufacturing using products that get thrown away and disposed into landfills, increasing uses of power, but then at the same time increased power efficiency. One pupil mentioned the ECU, the engine control units in a car, and how they could increase fuel efficiency. So for homework, I asked them to draft a list of arguments for the use of computers to reduce impact on the environment, and the arguments against, saying about how computers are actually harmful. So that was our Monday lesson. Then the Tuesday, that's the lesson that I've been putting to one side for programming, and we've been using Python, learning how to program with Python. So this week in our Python programming lesson, I want children to start looking at how you could use conditionals. So we were using if. So I showed them a very simple example of how we could use if, and then I asked the class to try and build this into something that would create a program. I asked them to create a program that would determine the age of a user. So it would ask them how old you are, and then depending on the age that the person said that they were, it would then ask them some questions specific to that. So some children created a program that would say, how old are you? And if the user said that they were an age that was greater than 16, so it would ask them things like, do you work? Are you married? Do you go to college? Do you study? If you said that your age was 16 or under, it would ask you things like what school you go to, and that sort of thing. We then had a show and tell towards the end of the lesson, and that's about as much as I can remember from that lesson. Now the next day, on the Wednesday, I wanted to continue that work where we were understanding conditionals, but then we started looking at while loops. So at the beginning of this lesson, I typed in a program which had a while loop. So I started off it assigning number equals 0, and then I started a loop that said while the number is less than 6, print the number. Then increment the number, so number equals number plus one, and then so that was a loop that repeated. So all the time the number was less than six, it would print the number, and then when the number was six, it stopped. So I asked the children to copy that down, the code. I wanted them to create it on their own computers, basically to copy it off the whiteboard, but then to add comments in to explain what was happening in this particular piece of code. Then I asked them to choose a partner to work with, and I wanted them to take this sort of building block that I'd shown them and to turn it into a program that would produce a list of all the multiples of the 12 times table. So it would express, so it would output 12, 24, 36, and so on up to 144. So that initially, that they found that a little bit of a challenge, but working in pairs, they were able to support each other. I was really impressed that two children, a girl and a boy, but working separately, they raced on to develop a piece of... They developed and enhanced their code so that it would actually start off by saying to the user, this is a multiplication program, give me a number and we'll tell, you know, we'll show you the first 12 multiples. So you could type in a number. Somebody else in the class went a stage further and he had it so that it would start off, it would ask you, what's the number that you got that you want to take? And then the second thing it would then do, it would ask, do you want me to multiply, divide, add or subtract? And it would then produce the first 12 multiples. It's not quotient, is it? Whatever the first 12 answers would be if it was the 12 divide tables or the 12 product, first 12 products. That's multiply. That's multiple. Oh. Right, Sunday night. My head's a bit addled. Let's see, what else? So I've started to notice now, we're 13 lessons in, that the class, when we have some challenges like this that are fairly open-ended, that there's about three general levels of ability. And I'm starting to wonder now about being more explicit in future, my instructions to say, you know, I'd expect everybody in the class can achieve this thing here I'm asking you to do. Then most of you should be able to do this next bit here. So that would be, for example, it would ask you for a number and then it would tell you what the first 12 multiples are. And then there's a group of about three or four children in that class who they're in terms of programming understanding, their ability and talent seems quite exceptional compared to the rest in the class. So there's a few of you who'll be able to do this. And what can you show me? And as I've been going around with the class, I've been checking, are they adding commenting in the way that we've talked about? Are they using the correct sort of standard procedures for variable naming and spacing in their program? Now, is there anything else? And I have also started to notice there's one or two who sometimes they'll find a particular challenge just too difficult and are almost now at this point giving up because it's too difficult, so they're finding something else to do instead. So I'm having to nip that one in the bud. Here's a snag. I was going to set a homework, and then it wasn't a timetabled homework night, but I said, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a homework, and then you can choose whether you're going to do it or not, which is I want you to find out about the time module and how you could add a delay into a Python program. And sure enough, the next lesson, some of them had gone ahead and done that. And they said, look, sir, I figured out how you can add a time delay. And you can get it so it tells you the time as well at the beginning of the program. And somebody else was showing off, said, sir, look, this bit of Python script here, it can show you how many seconds there have been since some specific date and time. So a few other things to mention. So when they were doing the multiplication program, some children had cheated again, and they literally just said print. So for the 12 times tables, print 12, print 24, print 36. And again, I was saying, well, clearly this group have got a solution to the problem, but they're having to put a lot more effort into the coding to achieve something that produces the same results, but look, there's somebody over here, and they've created a little loop which goes through and adds 12 on each time. Where were we? Yeah, so we're getting lots of different, a variety of solutions, and I'm trying to, you know, find opportunities to praise what they've done, but at the same time look for things that we can do in which to build it. Right, so anyway, just to summarise, I'm hoping that if you're listening to this, that you're already a member of the Computing at School community. If you're not, you really need to find out about joining it. They have a forum online where you can subscribe and get lots of notifications and emails to all sorts of exciting things and events that are happening all over the country. Thank you very much for listening. If you liked this, send me an email. Tweet me. Get in touch with me somehow and let me know. And if you didn't like it, I really want to know what you think and how I can improve or change it. Maybe you just don't like what I'm doing, and I'd love to hear that. Thanks for listening.